Bernadette, and thank you for the inspiration, Anne-Marie, this afternoon. I decided to write about the monsters of the sea. Of all the creatures that roam the sea, one of the most terrible is the draugen. He appears in the guise of a headless fisherman to sate his hunger for human flesh, or sometimes as a horseman of the waves in a flash of light comes the kraken, more fearful still, a creature of scales and skins whose numerous arms will down a boat. Then he'll swallow it whole. Other times up from beneath the sea comes a sound so strange that the bowels of passing boats begin to quake. It's the song of the fin whale, a music so heart-scalding that it causes salted fishermen to pause and question life itself.
Next up is Jackie Shortland.
Thanks, Brenda. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for today. Bunches of stuff bunch of inspiration we were on. Mad creating, it was great fun. And it was good. This was the one I chose to do today. So it's called Cape Clear. It was gale force, something orange, and it felt like it could become a serious storm. We were exhilarated by it, me and my daughter Gillian. We were tending to my niece Miriam. She was seasick, but smiling for us. We were glad of it, and at the same time, close to heaving from the pints of stout we had had on the island. Already soaked through from the rain on the pier, and now we had the waves lashing at us over the back of the boat and the Irish flag drowned wet. No other passengers, just two crewmen we had to trust to bring us to shore. And them having to put up with us, singing out loud at the top of our voices the same two phrases over and over. And pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down. And the three of us holding on to one another for dear life. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jackie. So next up is Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Bernadette. We got a list of titles and I picked this one, The Sounds of Oars. The sounds are just a whisper of a splash, a clean slice into the thin tide, lacking in viscosity, each stroke a measured effort, in for the long haul, no heavy breathing involved. The precision surely spells a pair of paddles in use. And yet, the measured length of each stroke suggests a practiced motion, feathering on the return. So it's not a corruption. There is a pair of dowels in each rowlock. That trunk is missing, but I can hear it in my head, ingrained as a knot in a rejected frame member. There could be only one reason for this semi-silence, muted oars, drowning out the stroke, an attack on the shore battery, or a flotilla of smugglers following the conscripted scout or pilot. He would have local knowledge like Hackett, leading the way in for the sack of Baltimore. There is not a call of a bird or a bay of a dog. I thought for a moment I could hear an animal chewing the cud. It brought to mind those bovine tricks, cows with lanterns on their horns to act like the flash of a lighthouse, wreckers leading poor sailors to their daughter. The bow must be sharp enough to pierce the surface without the hiss, the forced hiss of bubbles. And yet the metronome was on, the hiss of the blade's double bite.
Thank you, Seamus. So next up is Bernadette Gallagher. The Duick. Pulling the boat towards the shore, he holds it close, letting us step on board. We scramble to the far end, sit three to a seat. He pulls the anchor up with wet rope, drops it slowly to the floor, water seeping under the wooden planks. With a tin can, we bail it out before the oars splash and seawater falls from above. We each take turns to steer the boat, keeping a steady hand on the tiller. Thank you. So next up is Matthew Moynihan.
It's fitting that everyone is talking about journeys and voyages and maps and things tonight. I wrote this poem for my girlfriend Marion, and thankfully she's not here because she hates public displays of affection. So at the start of our relationship, thinking about, you know, mapping out a world and a relationship with her, this is what I came up with. And it's the only piece of writing I'm happy with this year, so, or semi-happy with. I don't think a writer is ever happy with their work fully. So it's called The Cartographer's Projections. You are papyrus, a blank piece of silk upon which I draw tremulous perceptions of milky skin, stolen kisses, and mutual tenses. I am the cartographer, a master of ink masking declinations to seek relief from this township's gradual erosions. Pain glues our nations together as I map your skin with fingertips, kisses of polarities, borders broken down. Instinct is this day's fickle compass. This map may never be completed, but for this moment, this pleasing breach in time's arms allow me draw, because these scrawlings aren't permanent unless this atlas lust for flames or frames.
Thank you, Matthew. Next up is Rishi McPherish.
I hadn't realised there was boat week, but it's quite odd because I was on Cape Clear on the weekend for the Storytelling Festival, and yeah, it's a lovely weekend. If you ever get a chance to go, I definitely recommend it. Just one short story before I go home is I decided to go swimming off Cape, off one of the piers, you know, transfer the water, like, and I decided to go without clothes on because it was really quiet and it was early morning. And when I decided to come out of the water, there was a yoga class going on over my I changed my life pretty dramatically at last year's Story Festival, so I wanted to just revisit a poem that I wrote straight after I came off Cape Clear last year. So, recently, my mind went under capitulation, resulting in the self-stipulation demanding that I be stern and learn to be heard. And I knew then it was time to leave my line of work. Initially, it was discerning learning that the world revolved without me, and I spent some time estranged from the reality of earning. But after a few weeks, it became apparent that my expeditions into creative exposition went into remission and led nowhere productive. Well, in a monetary sense at least. So my life, it became reductive as my income ceased to a dribble of cash in hand, odd jobs. I robbed the taxman as best I can to fund a caffeine addiction with the restriction of knowing that what I spend, it wasn't being replaced. And I traced my life through day-to-day delusions, a fusion of illusions, avoiding questions of my future, sutured by the fact that I'm still relatively young. So highly strung. I sung a few songs and I slung myself into the mould of the artist. But I was unable to resist the tempests of creative stasis. Moods and flux, the crux of all our lives, arrived at my undecided mind. What the fuck am I supposed to do with my life? Because, as you probably know, simply existing doesn't hold an economical value. And in lieu of society devolving into a meritocracy where I receive on the basis of a social standing, or a kleptocracy where it's permitted to take as I fancy, I need to find out ways of making money while maintaining sanity. But my vanity is compounded as I'm surrounded by friends whose momentum it seems unfounded, happy with their lives, it's visible in their eyes. A counsellor once queried would I prefer to live life either rich and easy or poor and interesting. And the sting is that I want the best of both, but have neither.
Thanks, Richard. So next up is Michelle Delay.
Tantan Cara Don Garrett Lady. I need four short points. From a journey to, I won't say where it is now. For fear of offending you. Everything here has a face. Fire hydrants make more eye contact than wet floor signs and much more than I. Good night again, TV persons tuck us in. Ladies like toys make playful boys of men. Red ropes been unhooked and left so. Soaks and rusts by nature and negligence. Bow and raise the pitch of voice and stitch of skirts. Eyelash bent by silken necktie tied too tight. Smile and bow, you need not translate. You are both working late. Your white collar, my slippers. White collar, shirt collar cuffs your neck. Far from you. There's nothing in this cabin for two. I may as well be buried. Red tag on his bag, with a white plus. Empty can in his hand, within white plastic, sliding beside him as the train line curves in the same way his spine does. White tunnel, bones worm, shoot through black x-ray earth, hidden in photos folder on his phone, not ringing.
Thank you, Michelle. Next up is Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. This is called Built It Up's Lessons. Only the remnant shall be saved. Pocketing your favourite Bible, distressed, as how the world goes by, frigidly stretched, conspiring near no unhealthy situation. A fraud for not producing whatever goods may lie. Borrowing the computer for domination. Pleading that to do the deed, a convenient trick. Bearing the strangest of peaceful lure. This own private galaxy, enough to bore. Studied fragments and remains still apart. Attention to the ink is all I can support. Building up adolescence over the cover of stairs. The bell makes a solemn departure, sweetly annoying. No mediation can touch now, dangerous as is. Time and again, excusing your gratification. Making friends with doorbells, the satanic touch. There is nothing there but sky and meaty occupation. Free education and food is the best of your efforts. Driving to freedom, wherever that comes from. Only driven home where it isn't needed. God is not inclined to make mistakes. Finding love on the Repair Gratitude Festival, too damn right. Some vitamin heart catches you unaware. Thunderously claiming what is proffered to be yours. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up is Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Bernadette. This is called Secret Sound Effects. Winning two nights away in a hotel by the shore, I invited a close friend on whom I could set great store, but she declined regretfully and let me know the score, suggesting that my cousin would appreciate it more. And the cousin told me something I could not ignore and had not taken seriously or rectified before. It hit me like a ton of bricks and made me pretty sore, since I was quite unconscious of causing a furore. By now, you're asking what had caused their blood pressure to soar. I'll tell you all before I sink in shame down through the floor. It's simply that to sleep near me has become a chore. Because you see, it turns out that I very loudly snore.
Next up is Terry Doyle.
Hello. So this one, I suppose from tonight, the Guillemot, formerly a light vessel, museum, and sold for scrap. It was in Wexford. So, pre-nuclear, all steel, withdrawn in advance of Voyager's lunar trawl. The sea sucks on your blanched mushroom anchor. Its warning boom, a steady bell on Fresnel lens of the First Order. No longer fog-gunned out, exposed to this corrosion. Under sound block struck, agreed for small percentage. Only discussion boards matching treads remain. Data entries of the past, postings of the heart. A who's who of cast and crew, their names recede from the swell of your lip.
Thanks, Terry. Jamie Lawton.
I'm caught like a rabbit in headlights. Anxiety depriving me of drive that the stress is supplying. When I finally decide to pick a side instead of sitting in indifference in the trap of apathy. My self-inflicted lethargy is sapping all my energy, and I thought that there'd better be a better way to temper me. My terror temper telling me to throw a temper tantrum was what taught me to take time out and to grow a thicker skin. Take it on the chin. The dilemma that I'm in is that I'm making the decision between the lesser of two sins. I'm choosing which of the two things I should be using. Really, it's both I'm abusing. It's confusing whether I can't move because I'm snoozing or whether it's rough because my screw isn't loose enough. What I find tough is I haven't deduced enough. All I truly know is I'm losing.
Thanks, Jamie. Next up is Philip Spillane.
Am I a hummingbird or a thunder eagle? I walk among industrial shadows, elongated and shrouding. I act as lucid within this cavern of ignorance. May some argue, is some childhood bliss. Somehow a nature can mark me as unequal. Some of them are darker, have voices, have arms, some can take, some can break, can gnaw at my fragility and mark me as unequal, making my night face varnished with tears. My inner soul is awash with rain. I make efforts to reach some peak, so I can admire the treks I reach. However, sometimes it can be no evidence to him, stealing triumph and taking the worthless elements in my present persona. Not my soul, not my heart, but a pizza I bought for €5. And in that, he somehow cracked my mentality. There's some reflectance that a thunder makes the most bombardment, but it's the lightning we fear. I feel like that milliseconds of witness, soundless, can petrify the atmosphere. Alas, I conclude, I am not eager to following, as some deities of hearts of hummingbirds, others have a more in the flap of an eagle's wing. Suicidally, I am a singular Christmas light that's gone out.
And thanks to everybody for contributing to tonight's event. And before we head over to Maine's Wine Bar, I'd like to ask you all to give a very big, warm thank you to Anne-Marie and Patrick.